The following is an AI reading of my blog called
Encrypted Messengers, How to Communicate Privately.
It is for people who don't have time to read blogs and can listen to podcasts though. So, let's go!
Recently, there have been some fairly significant improvements in the encryption of our communications. Virtually all websites have switched to encrypted communication using the HTTPS protocol. If we go to an unencrypted site, the browser will warn us that something is wrong. But this positive change goes hand in hand with an increased surveillance, different way of tracking, informing third parties about what we are doing, what social media posts we like, and so on. It's the basis of a so-called surveillance capitalism, a special category of communication which has recently been affected very fundamentally by the introduction of encrypted communication, our messaging applications. From solutions for corporations, Slack, Google Suite, Microsoft Teams, through originally gaming communities Discord, to personal communication WhatsApp, Facebook Messenger, Telegram, Viber, Wire, Signal, Threema, each of these projects has slightly different uses and different characteristics. In this text, we will explore the properties related to communication privacy, how secure is the data, and the metadata of the communication. I won't delve into the risks of all platforms in detail. Instead, I'll describe the platforms that are acceptable for privacy from my perspective. Why privacy? Why should we focus specifically on privacy? Isn't it mainly important how the communication tool is used, whether the users enjoy it, and if I can find everyone I need there? Here are some arguments for considering the security of communications, even when discussing seemingly non-sensitive topics. Bad habits. Let's avoid developing bad habits. Perhaps we enjoy a particular communication app, participating in public groups, for example, and occasionally we message someone privately. It might just be a one-time occurrence and not inherently sensitive, but it still matters. When communicating in a group setting, there may be times when you want to send a private message to someone within that group. Although this message might ideally be encrypted, it's often more convenient to simply click and reply rather than going through the process of establishing a secure communication channel. As a result, we convince ourselves that it doesn't matter since it's just this one time. The effort required to switch to a secure channel is outweighed by our desire for convenience. Communication sensitivity assessment. We have no control over whether the person on the other end shares our assessment of the need for privacy in communication. This means that people may send sensitive information through an unsecured channel, and even if we would have preferred to use a secure method, it's already too late as we've received the message. However, there is also an alternative perspective, which I will present here for completeness. When I asked a friend of mine, one of the best hackers in the world, why he didn't encrypt emails, he said that when he had the encryption keys published, people wrote him things that he didn't want to receive. The feeling of private communication removes inhibitions, and suddenly people want to hack big sites and hack into the mailboxes of their business or romantic partners. At the same time, as a hacker, he knows that most people don't know how to secure their endpoint devices, and so they're typing, thinking they're safe, while their mobile or computer screen is being uploaded by some spyware and sent somewhere. So making it impossible to communicate safely has an advantage for him. Everyone assumes that unencrypted messages can be read by someone, and so they censor themselves. For me, the need to encrypt outweighed this risk because I found that people write things they shouldn't anyway. I am unable to take responsibility for messages sent by others, and I will kindly decline any overly sensitive requests, regardless of whether they are encrypted or not. Encryption is not a means to engage in questionable activities. We must anticipate that our need for encrypted communication may be misunderstood by those on the opposing side. I strive to prevent this from happening. The determination of what constitutes sensitive content can change over time and context. Sometimes, conversations begin innocently but shift towards more delicate subjects. During such instances, we would prefer not having a record of the initial conversation. As the context evolves, so does our evaluation of communication sensitivity. But after all, my tool allows encryption. For instance, Facebook Messenger and Telegram enable you to activate encryption for specific one-on-one conversations. However, since this is not automatic, hardly anyone utilizes it. The same principle applies here. We should have turned it on, but once the conversation begins, it's already too late. I personally don't use Telegram, and no one has written with me using Facebook Messenger's secret chat feature up to now. In essence, an option that isn't used is quite pointless. It's something we must consider and intentionally turn on ourselves. Unfortunately, this doesn't happen in practice as people are naturally lazy. I trust the operator. During the initial stages of the Russian invasion of Ukraine, a significant concern was whether or not Telegram Messenger could be trusted. The Ukrainian military employed it. Just like the Russians did, they used Telegram to communicate about the actual situation on the ground. And Russian state authorities who communicated with citizens through a Facebook page also switched to Telegram after the state blocked Facebook. The question has been raised, do we trust the company behind Telegram? The founder of Telegram is a Russian who emigrated and seems not very enthusiastic about Putin's regime. Personally, I believe this. However, one must consider a less likely possibility. He may have made a deal with the regime, possibly under duress, to act against it on the outside so that people will use Telegram and then secretly send the FSB the information they request. By not encrypting Telegram, even if the founder and CEO of the company may be uncooperative, the technical team could still be infiltrated. The unencrypted messages could then be shared with Russian authorities or any other authorities by someone on staff. Infiltration by operators of sensitive services is common, and there are criminal organizations that specialize in it. And certainly, we should remember that if a service has poor security design, for instance, Telegram, Facebook Messenger, Slack, Discord, and so on, it can be easily attacked even without the assistance of the operator. For example, a SIM swap attack is quite common, where an employee of the operator, either independently or at the government's request, activates a second SIM card for a specific phone number. The attacker then activates your Telegram account using a verification SMS. As a result, they gain access to all of your messages, including past conversations. Furthermore, with groups, there is a concern that if one subscriber in the group succeeds, the attacker will have access to every message within the group. A SIM swap attack isn't the sole type of possible attack. Another example is gaining control over a certificate authority. This has occurred in Russia. After Western sanctions were imposed on Russian state organizations, most certificate authorities could not provide services to the Russian state. There was a rapid revocation of cryptographic certificates, which led to Russian state websites ceasing to function. The Russian state began addressing this issue by creating its own certification authority that issued certificates to the affected services. It's understandable for them to take such measures in order to continue functioning. However, after installing this new certificate authority into your system, a recommended step, if you're experiencing issues with a Russian state website, whoever controls the authority in this case, the Russian state can issue certificates for any service. If you connect to platforms like Facebook, Slack, or Discord, and the Russian Secret Service intercepts the connection with a trusted certificate, they will gain access to all your messages without raising suspicion. This problem can be avoided by using so-called end-to-end encryption. Messages are not encrypted between you and the service provider, for example, using HTTPS, but between your device and the recipient's device. And it is precisely such services that we will be looking at in this text. The goal is that we don't have to trust the operator of the service, and that such simple types of attacks are not possible even with the cooperation of the operator. We will, of course, have to trust the end devices. There has been reporting on Russian authorities, also called thugs, getting access to private Telegram communication and using it to arrest people. What are we trying to replace? Before we get into encrypted messengers, let's take a look at what benefits or services are offered by the less secure services Discord, Slack, Telegram, Facebook Messenger, Google Suite. Microsoft Teams, network effects. The first advantage of these services is the network effect. This is particularly visible with Facebook Messenger. However, we can also look at WhatsApp, LinkedIn, or Google services in a similar way. Everyone is on Facebook, so we can write to everyone via Messenger. We don't have to search for contact details, they're already available. We just need to type the person's name. If they are among our friends, it becomes even easier. With their name known, messaging or calling them takes only a few seconds. Many people use Google services. Knowing someone's email address allows us to arrange a meeting with them via Google Meet or work together on a document. If we know someone's phone number, chances are they have WhatsApp installed and can be texted easily. To achieve the same level of communication with more exotic messengers, we often need to ask the other party to install our preferred tool. Sometimes, exchanging an identifier within the service is necessary, such as a Threema ID or Matrix identifier. Signal uses phone numbers as identifiers, much like WhatsApp. If someone is in our contact list, we can send them a text message. If they don't have Signal installed, we can invite them to download it. However, we don't need to exchange any other information once the app is installed. Communication works seamlessly. Rooms and Threads. In corporate or group communication tools like Microsoft Teams, Slack, or Discord, users can create an entire universe of rooms for various purposes. While many communication platforms allow the creation of groups, services such as Slack or Discord take this style of conversation to a new level. If you have access to a corporate Slack workspace, you'll be able to see all possible channels and colleagues, even those not in your contact list. To discuss marketing, for example, simply click on an existing channel called Marketing, view previous discussions, and join the conversation. The communication tools also allow you to communicate in threads. This means that you can discuss topics in a structured format. Messages related to a single subtopic, like new marketing campaign, are kept together and not mixed with other messages. Some Slack alternatives, such as Mattermost or Zulip, offer user-friendliness and better privacy options. While they don't have end-to-end encryption, you can run your own server on your infrastructure and be the operator of the system. This helps people trust themselves more easily than third parties, bots, and integration. Many services allow for various helpers in the form of programs that integrate other services. These are called bots. They were already part of early communication tools like Internet Relay Chat IRC. In the first Bitcoin trading channels on IRC, bots maintained an order book. Modern services often use bots for various purposes, such as integrating with platforms like GitHub, organizing physical or virtual meetings through corporate calendars, or controlling access to certain rooms in Discord. These integrations are particularly popular on communication platforms like Slack, Telegram, and Discord. Creating these bots is quite simple, thanks in part to their unencrypted approach. Programmers don't have to worry about choosing encryption keys. They can simply instruct the program to send a request, such as write this message to that channel. When letters are not enough, many services already support virtual video conference calls. Some platforms offer this feature directly, like Zoom and MS Teams, while others integrate with another service to enable it. Thankfully, this capability is becoming increasingly common even among encrypted communicators, although there may be some limitations on the number of participants. Privacy technologies have been gaining popularity and attention in the business ecosystem. This area consists of various players such as companies, foundations, investors like angel and venture capital firms, open source developers, and infrastructure operators. Some of these privacy technologies include encrypted messengers, VPN like ProtonVPN and NordVPN, encrypted storage services such as Proton Drive, encrypted backups and custom office, and communication solutions that can be self-run, for example, Nextcloud. There are also tools for censorship and geo-blocking circumvention, web tracking protection, encrypted email, Tutanota and Proton Mail, financial privacy, Bitcoin privacy services and Monero, and search engines that prioritize privacy pre-search, DuckDuckGo, StartPage. In this market of privacy-aware problem-solving services, there are interesting participants who focus on addressing specific issues they identify. No longer just a few IT professionals sending encrypted emails with OpenPGP using command lines, now we have services meant for everyone that need to be user-friendly and functional. A downside to privacy technologies is their inability to track users. preventing revenue generation from selling aggregated personal data or targeted advertising. These technologies require alternative funding methods, such as direct payment by users through a commercial service or other means like voluntary donations to foundations or tokenomics. Firstly, if the service is free, we must question who funds it and why. Secondly, how can the network effect be accomplished in this scenario? If entrance requires payment, such as with Threema Communicator, user numbers may be limited. However, it's not just about the price. Threema costs a few euros. The real barrier is that users must have a card number entered in an app store like App Store or Play Store, or find some way to process their payment. This is a major roadblock for many users who are either unable or unwilling to overcome it. The lack of user information sharing doesn't help the network effect either. If a service doesn't disclose or collect basic details about its users, it becomes harder for them to be found by others. A perfect example of this issue is Threema once again. After someone feels like James Bond installing a privacy-preserving messenger, Threema asks if they want to link their account with a phone number. Many people choose no in this case. However, without a linked phone number, users have to provide their Threema ID to everyone they wish to communicate with. They may do this through another service or by scanning a QR code from the app. Different services address these limitations differently, but it's essential to be aware of the challenges we face. Where did these technologies and the need for them come from? The history of privacy technologies, anonymity, encryption, signing started with the cypherpunks movement in the early 1990s. Of course, encryption itself existed long before that time. It is also connected to the cryptanarchy concept introduced by Timothy C. May in his Crypto Anarchist Manifesto. He talks about how these technologies will enable a world where governments play a much smaller role in our lives. If we can communicate, produce, and pay anonymously through the internet, nation, state laws enforced through violence against physical bodies become unnecessary. So, how is it possible for some software to prevent law enforcement? Conflicts, including those between individuals and the state, follow what's known as the OODA loop, a term used in military language. This cycle comprises four stages: observation, orientation, which involves understanding what is happening, deciding how to react, and action. Both sides of a conflict go through this OODA loop. Different approaches for increasing freedom primarily target the last two steps. For example, law reforms or decriminalization alter the way an attacker, in this case, the state, decides and acts. A law permitting marijuana possession affects judges' decisions when possession is discovered. Cryptoanarchy, in its narrow sense, and cypherpunks, in a broader context, focus on the first two parts of the OODA loop. If someone conducts business over the internet, such as a Belarusian programmer, without paying taxes from that venture, it doesn't necessarily mean a judge would rule in their favor or that the state wouldn't resort to violence against them, resulting in imprisonment. Due to encryption, privacy technologies, and anonymous payments, the state will be unaware of any actions taken, or if it does discover them, it won't know the details, such as who was involved, for whom, how much, and whether payment occurred. When individuals cannot be identified by the state for enforcement purposes like imprisonment or confiscation of property, laws become unenforceable. It's important to note that cypherpunker's vision faces a significant operational security issue in reality. In practice, people often make mistakes such as registering an email address under their own name or occasionally failing to encrypt something. I discuss cypherpunks here because their philosophy implies the specific cryptographic techniques they use. It's not just basic encryption that makes messages unreadable. Some communication tools utilize additional privacy techniques like blind signatures, anonymization methods, and perfect forward secrecy. Let's delve into the concept of perfect forward secrecy. If an encryption key or password is exchanged and later revealed, it allows us to decrypt any messages encrypted with that key in the future. However, perfect forward secrecy prevents retroactive decryption of past messages once the password is discovered, because an attacker would need to actively interfere with the communication, which has already taken place. As a result, He can only decrypt future messages if he successfully intercepts and alters the content during transmission. Another slightly more advanced technique involves ring signatures, which enable the creation of cryptocurrencies where it's challenging to determine the actual coins used in a transaction. This concept is also referred to as plausible deniability, meaning that it's impossible to provide evidence of who specifically sent a particular message. In this case, one individual or another is known, but because both parties have access to the key, an agent provocateur could potentially generate the message themselves. As a result, proving someone wrote something becomes unfeasible. These techniques contribute significantly to enhancing the privacy characteristics of encrypted communication. They can also serve as a foundation for establishing social networks in the form of communication groups. Thanks to cryptocurrencies, it's now possible to cultivate business relationships on these social networks, independent from government control and traditional financial systems. This development ultimately bolsters individual sovereignty, with some individuals' business and communication relationships remaining distinct from their physical identities. Thanks to reputation systems, we can now communicate with people whom we only know by their nicknames. Decentralized autonomous organizations, DAO, have enabled the existence of groups consisting of anonymous members that manage assets valued at hundreds of millions to billions of dollars. Remarkably, this is possible even though these individuals have never physically met, are unaware of each other's official names, and realize that in case of an issue, they cannot resort to legal recourse due to uncertainty regarding the location of their counterparts. In light of this, establishing relationships must be done in a manner that effectively prevents conflicts from arising. Encrypted communication tools, anonymization tools, and cryptocurrencies contribute towards actualizing the cypherpunk vision and subsequently enhance personal sovereignty for every individual. Utilizing them, consequently, punishment for opinions, distribution of information, or censorship becomes nearly unfeasible, even within non-democratic nations. We are still people who live in physical reality and have bodies, but much of our activity can be in the domain of the mind, in cryptospace, cypherspace. Comparison of secure messengers can be found in part 2 of this article. Find more content like this in my book, Cryptocurrencies: Hack Your Way to a Better Life. It is a guide for Bitcoin and cryptocurrency ninjas. Learn how to use the Lightning Network, how to accept cryptocurrencies, what opportunities there are for different professions, how to handle different market situations, and how to use crypto too. Improve your life. Get it on my eShop BTC, BTC and XMR, and even old school plastic or at Amazon.
Thank you for listening. I'm sorry for any possible quirks generated by the large language model or text-to-speech engine, but I think it is worth transferring these blocks into audio form for people who can't or don't have time to read. So I hope it was useful to you, and I would really appreciate if you used value for value podcasting apps to listen to this episode and stream me some sets or Boost. I read all the comments on the Boosts as well. So if you have any comment about this content, feel free to use Fountain.fm or any other app and boost this podcast. Thank you very much.